guys, and welcome back for another episode of the Social Hour Podcast, a podcast for sewists by sewists. I'm your host, Ashley.
And I'm your host, Bethany. And on today's episode, we have the lovely Liza Taylor with us. Hi, Liza.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We're so excited to have you here. And for those who don't know who Liza is, she's Liza Taylor Handmade. She is amazing with the foundation paper piecing. So if you're following me at all, you know that I've been obsessed with this lately. So we're going to dive in to that topic today, which is, if we call it FPP, that's the abbreviation for foundation paper piecing, because I know we have some listeners that may not know what that means, but we're going to kind of dive into that. But before we do, I would love it if you could just share a little bit about who you are and how you got started in sewing. People love to hear our guest background.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thanks again for having me. So my name is Liza and I'm in Utah. So I have two little girls who you might hear some screams in the background, but they're loud and very active, but they keep me on my toes. So how I started sewing, it was like 7 years ago. I'd seen all these beautiful, there's actually a big account that sells vintage quilts. That's all she does is sells these beautiful vintage quilts. And I had no sewing experience. I had no quilting experience, but these quilts are just incredible. So I kept seeing them and I kept trying to get on and buy them, and they would sell so fast. So there was like, no way. Like, I just missed out every single time. So there was one I was like super excited for, and got on right when it went live and it sold. So I was like, oh, that's such a bummer. I was like, maybe I could figure out how to sew it myself. And it's just squares and kind of like a around the world, trippy around the world quilt. So I was like, maybe I could figure that out. So I went to my local fabric store and bought some fabrics and watched some YouTube tutorials.
Of course.
Self-taught on YouTube University. So did all that and put together the quilt. And it actually, I was like going for like a throw size, right? But I had no idea, like sizing and seam allowances would take it down. So it ended up being king size. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, and that's just the quilt top. You still had to like quilt it all.
Yes, absolutely. So I actually sent it to a long armor because I was like, I don't, my machine can't do this. Like, you know.
So,
but anyway, so I caught the bug then and just it escalated from there. When my husband and I were trying to get pregnant, we had a hard time and we had a big miscarriage. And so I'm sure many of your viewers can relate that that's, you know, an incredibly tough time. So I was like, I'm going to dive headfirst into the hardest quilting pattern I can find. And just doing that, like getting my mind off of it and like that therapy of like being in my sewing room and dealing with that, processing and coping, like that really helped heal me. So and then I was like, quilting helps the soul. It is,
it does. Know,
yeah, it's just,
I've always said that sewing is like my therapy.
Yes.
Like it can be very therapeutic. Something about just being able to take fabric and turn it into something, or just the sound of the machine, or just the feeling of accomplishment.
Yes.
It's just, it's very gratifying.
Yes.
It very is. So I'm glad that you found it in that time. Do you looking back at that first time you've like really kind of dove into it and to where you are now, like when you take a minute to step back and look at that and all you've accomplished, because I know what you've accomplished, but our listeners don't yet. But it's, how do you feel about that journey that you've taken and the leap of faith that you took to just dive right in?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like, if you had told me when I started, I would not believe you. Like, so that's why I'm so passionate about people just, you know, giving it a go.
Start.
Because you don't need to take expensive sewing classes if you don't want to. You don't have to buy an expensive machine. Just start and, you know, you'll get to where you want to be. But it's so worth it.
Now, do you still sew on the same machine that when you started, or have you upgraded, or have you gotten some new ones?
So I did. I actually, like, back in 2020 upgraded. So I guess, for a few years, I used that same machine. And I actually had it on my ironing board, and I would stand and sew.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen one other person do that, and I on their ironing board. And I always thought that was really interesting, because My ironing board is not stable enough for that.
No.
Mine's not either.
That was a wild ride, but I have stood to sew. And I don't hate standing to sew. Sometimes I need to stand up and take a break, but I want to keep going.
Yeah.
But I've never thought to put my sewing machine on my ironing board, but that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have like any space. We were in like a tiny apartment. I didn't want to invest in like anything if I didn't really like it, you know?
You got to work with what you got. There's no shame in that at all. But that's so funny. I love that you started sewing by standing.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
To make a whole king size standing and sewing.
She had this extended table essentially to support the fabric. It's not like a horrible idea. Yeah. I mean, and then she could just press it right there as she's going.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's awesome. So what do you sew on now? What machine do you use now?
So I've always used a Bernina because my first machine was actually my mom's machine. I was just borrowing it. And then like after 4 years, she was like, can I have that back, please? So so now I'm on a Bernina 770. And I got it back at like the very beginning. It was like close to the beginning of COVID. So anyway, the shops were like wanting to make deals and, it was a floor model. So, you know, it's an expensive machine, but I got it for a really good price and it has just served me so well. And it's going to be my machine forever. Like it's so good. I love Berninas.
They are good machines. They are. And, I think it's good for people to realize like I think it's two call outs here. One, you don't have to buy a machine to get started. You borrow the machine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've loaned out one of my machines that I don't use anymore. That works perfectly fine. Still, I just have it as a backup of someone who wanted to learn to sew, or I have had an extra serger. I let someone borrow to be able to learn to how to use a serger to see if they really wanted to invest in one and add that to their collection. So, you know, you can ask a friend, ask a family member who maybe doesn't sew as much or has an extra machine, like, can I borrow it? Or can you like, can I come over and practice and see if it's something I really want to do before you invest in machines? So I love that your mom was so kind to let you borrow one for so long.
Then
the second fold of that is like, you may have like a dream machine that you want, but you can shop around. You can usually find good deals. You can wait till like holidays when some of the shops will run sales. You can talk to them and say, hey, when is the next model coming out? When that model, the next model comes out, will you be lowering the price of this one? You know, like, can I be on that email list to let me know? Like those kind of things. I think you don't have to like, I know for me, I'm kind of an impulse buyer, but when it comes to things like that, sometimes it's worth being patient to be able to get that upgrade in the budget that you have. So I love that you were like, hey, I'm just going to keep my eye on what I want. And when the price is right, you got to jump on it. So
yeah. And floor models, like every shop has floor models and they're usually willing to sell if you ask about it.
Yeah. And they're very well taken care of. So being there. So, so let's dive into like, so you started with quilting. Mm-hmm. Now, then you kind of took a dive into foundation paper piecing, which I feel like is a part of quilting, but like adjacent, if that makes sense, because I like it. And I'll tell you why I like foundation paper piecing over quilting, because I don't have the patience to cut out perfect pieces for a quilt, but with foundation paper piecing, I don't have to cut out perfect pieces.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's like paint by numbers, but fabric, right? So maybe I'll let you define what foundation paper piecing is and then kind of tell everybody how you got into that and what you do with it.
Yeah. So foundation paper piecing is sewing on paper to get really intricate designs that you can't get with traditional piecing. Mm-hmm. So people are always a little thrown off by the paper aspect, but you just tear the paper out after and you're left with a sewn block, a quilting block.
It's like a stencil.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and like Bethany said, it's like, you don't have to cut out perfect pieces. I have scrap bins and I just reach in and grab a piece and use it. And it's so nice. And, it really is paint by numbers and you can get really creative with it, but I started foundation paper piecing because quilting, I used to love to just take my time and take, you know, a month or 2 months, 3 months to make a quilt. And then I had my two girls and everything changed, you know, you don't have any time. And, so I really,
or your time is very short and it could end abruptly.
I really craved like a, small, quick, satisfying project that I could, you know, feel good about and display in my home maybe. And so that's why I turned to foundation paper piecing, because I can sit down and do a block in nap time, you know, and then maybe later that night I can turn it into a bag or a garment or whatever I want to make it with. So that's kind of what led me there, is I was just craving that quicker project that could help me through.
I'm a quick project person. If it's going to, and that's part of the reason why I haven't done like a full size quilt. I've done wall hangings and things like that, but I've never done like a full size quilt because I don't have the patience.
Yeah.
I can't keep working on the same thing for that long. I get bored with it and I need something quick and easy. But like with garments, I like can sew up a garment in a day, you know, or a couple of hours, or sometimes 2 days if I'm watching a show and I get distracted while I'm sewing. But I'm like you, like I need like that quick satisfaction. And I feel like I was kind of losing my sojo. You know, doing a lot of the same stuff over and over. And so when I got introduced to the FPP, I was like, okay, like, this is a quick satisfaction, and kind of got me my sojo back, and was a nice change to challenge myself to learn something new that I hadn't done before. And that's how I found out about your membership, the paper piecers. So tell us a little bit about your membership that you have, because that's how I got to know you, was through that.
Oh, that's so cool. That makes me so happy. Yeah. So, yes. So I launched my membership in January of this year. It's called the Paper Piecers, and it's all about foundation paper piecing. So every month members will get a brand new FPP block, but something that lives in the membership forever are my project patterns, which really, like, when I was doing FPP before, I was like, well, I have all these blocks and now what do I do with them? Like, they're just sitting in my drawer. So I created these project patterns to put the blocks straight into, so you can have a finished project and something to display in your home or something to use. And we have monthly meetups, challenges, and we'll be doing swaps, and we have a sew along. So yeah, it's like a really cool community. We all chat and get to know each other, and I love
it. It's all through an app, which I love. It's not through like a social media platform, so it's like something separate that I'm like, oh, I can log in and this is all that I see on this whole app is my FPP club members. And like they like, you can post your finished, you know, block, and people are like commenting and saying they love your fabric choices, or if you need help, you can post questions there. And like, you do the live sew along, so if anybody needs help to learn. And your tutorials are very good. Your patterns are always so good. So I thought, for real quick, since I've been in it since January, I thought I would hold up my blocks, because I have not turned them into anything yet. Partially because I'm so proud of them. I'm scared I'm going to mess them up if I turn them into something. I mean, I know I won't, but it's like, I've never turned a block into a project. But I have to say, the apron that you released for April, the pinafore apron for the gardening, I am totally making that. That is right up my alley. So let me show you. And let's keep in mind, before I joined your membership in January, the first time I had done FPP anything was December. So if you don't know, I have a local sewing club that meets once a month. And I wanted something that I could do at the club when, on our Saturdays that we sew together. And it's kind of hard when you do garment sewing to, like, I need a sewing machine and a serger and, you know, and it's just a little more involved and I need more space. So I thought, you know, I need something that I can do that's kind of crafty, right? That just needs my sewing machine. So that's kind of, I found one, a pattern off Etsy, and it was for like a mug rug or coaster. And it was just a little coffee mug. And I printed it out and I took it because one of my friends at the club knows how to do FPP, and I've been watching her do it on Saturdays when we would meet up. So it intrigued me, and that's how I learned. And so she took the time to show me how to do it, because of course the pattern that I downloaded off Etsy did not have instructions on how to do it. It just was the pattern. It was just the template. And so I was like, well, I mean, I can usually figure stuff out, but yeah. The numbers and letters kind of, I didn't understand that. And so she took the time to show me and I was hooked. I made several more and gave them as Christmas gifts of the little coasters. And then I think it was her that, there's several people in my sewing club now that are members of your paper piecers because we all join together. So now every Saturday that we meet up, we all make the same thing together from your group. And so we're doing them together on Saturdays. It's super fun.
That's so cool.
That was my first one. And then my next one was your January pattern, which is the hummingbird. Yes. I'm going to hold this up. So if you're watching over on YouTube, you can see it.
That's
cute.
Yes. And this
I am over to YouTube.
Yes, it's not an easy one. So for your
not an easy one, no. Yeah. But I really enjoyed this one, and it gave me so much confidence once I got this one figured out that I was like, okay, now I'm like the little coffee mug was cute, but this is really cool.
Yeah,
this is really cool.
Your
this is probably my favorite one. Okay.
Yeah.
That I've done. And then what was the next one? February. So sometimes you do more than one pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So February, you did three patterns that we got to make. And they were hearts.
Yes.
And this is probably my favorite one. Let me hold this up.
That one's so cute.
I love you.
Yeah.
Isn't that cute?
Mm-hmm.
And then I did one that has tacos.
Why haven't you made this into like a beautiful table runner or something?
I should have.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so excited to get them finished that I just, I don't know. And then I just did a little pastel plaid one. So she had, and this was like the what's that pattern? The log cabin. Yeah. So they all had like different designs. Like this one has the star in the middle. So you're still not doing the same one every time, but they were all like cohesive together. And then for March, we did the clover, which I thought was so cute. And then this month, I haven't done them yet. When we recorded this, I hadn't had a chance to do them yet, but because our club meetup is not till 2 Saturdays from now. So that's usually when I save it to do it. But it's two patterns and they're gardening tools. Do you have them to hold up?
Let me show you. They're on my apron. So
yes, she made this pinafore apron and gave us the pattern.
God, these are the pockets.
Cute.
I love that.
Yeah. They've got the little heart.
So sweet.
Yes. I love the handles.
Thank you.
I know. I knew Ashley would love this one because she loves to garden. So do I, but she really loves to garden. So I was like, oh, this is so cute. So we don't know what the pattern's going to be until the first of the month, or if you give us a little sneak peek or something early, but it's always fun. Like I now look forward to like the first of the month. I'm like, what's happening? Like which one's so next? Fun. We get so excited. We get excited to like pick out our fabrics and bring them to the club and we work on them together. And I love that I can do it with my friends in person and they're in the club too. And so it's super fun that you've created this community around this. And then I'm so grateful that I found you because it has made me so excited to keep doing more and more. And I have one that I did recently after the clover one. I was kind of felt like I had gotten my confidence up.
Yeah.
And so I sought out a pattern from, was it Pride and Joy?
Yes.
Who makes those very detailed ones with like the lion and like all these that you see people make. And you're just like, these are amazing. My friend Jennifer in my sewing club, she just did the lion and it's stunning. And I'm just like, I don't know how that's a big, and her patterns are very detailed.
Yes.
But I started with one of her smaller ones because I wanted something I could hang in my sewing room. Actually, I may hang it here in my studio, but I did the sewing machine.
Oh my gosh. That's so
and I'm
good.
Like, I would have never had the confidence to do this had I not been a part of your membership and learning like as I go. But then I will tell you, I messed up a couple times and I had to take some things apart. But I got there and it's all about the journey, right?
Yes.
I'm so happy with how this one turned out. So this one's probably going to get, you know, just like a wall hanging, like a border and just get put up so I can admire it.
Yeah, you need to put that one up. That's perfect for a studio.
Isn't it fun? And, but I have to say, like, it's I would have never attempted one of her patterns had I not been a part of your membership and learned so much through what you're doing. So thank you. Well,
thank you. That really just like is so nice to hear. And that's why I started it, is just to like, you know, have a community, because that's what I craved, is just like-minded people that are so excited about sewing and so excited to like do stuff together and get to know each other better. And it just lights me up to hear that. So thank you.
Oh, good. No, this, seriously, every time I do it and then I get done and I'm like, that is amazing how I am just taking scraps of fabric and just slapping them on and sewing them. And I love that I don't have to be super precise. Like, I follow the line, obviously you're stitching and following the line on the paper, but like,
you can hack up the fabric and just like whatever, right? You don't have to like cut perfect blocks and stuff to
sew with it. And if I mess up, I'm like, oh, well, and I just like take it off and like redo it. If I need to reprint that piece of paper and cut it out because it's, you know, it got perforated or whatever and I had to start it, like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's because it's broken up in small sections. So let's kind of explain without getting too technical if we can, but like foundation paper piecing, obviously your patterns come in different sizes. So you do everything from like, I think 3-inch size to like 10 inch. I usually do your 10 inch because I want something bigger that I could put like on a wall or something, but, kind of explain like the different sizing if you can, and like why you might want to use a different size of the pattern. And then maybe when we talk about it being like paint by number, there's sections and you do that whole section and then you take that section and attach it to the next section. It's kind of like a puzzle, right?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So yeah, my patterns all like across, whether they're in my membership or in my shop, because I have several patterns that aren't in the membership, if memberships aren't your thing. So they all are the same sizes. So they start at 3-inch, 5-inch, 7-inch, and 10-inch. And I did those because I love the minis because they're so dang cute. But then I also like the bigger blocks to like put into bigger things. But the project patterns, they come, several of them come in all of the sizes. So no matter what size block you make, you can use the project pattern. So like one of the project patterns is a zipper pouch. So this is for the 3-inch. So you can see they're very small.
Yes, that's perfect.
Yeah, actually, these would be great to add into like a bag pattern or, you know, like to put as like an outside pocket.
Bianca would just like die for that pencil case. She would just, my daughter.
So
cute. You could teach her how to make it. How fun would that be?
Yep.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know if I want to tackle that with my daughter.
I was just thinking of our last experience with quilting, but it wasn't foundation paper piecing, so that might actually be better.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you could kind of break it up and like some people will color the paper to match the fabric that they've chosen, so they make sure they're using the right fabric on each little section. I just write the fabric. I write the color on the block, but some people will take colored pencils or whatever and they'll fill it in so that they make sure that they don't get confused of which color they want to use and which part. So
yes,
but I love the minis.
Yes.
I haven't sewn one yet. I feel like I need to.
Yeah. They're fun. They're challenging in their, you know, own unique way, but they're so fun and so cute and rewarding. So
look at that little butterfly. That's so cute.
Yeah, I know.
So for the project patterns, you know, this is for the 3-inch, but then the same zipper bag for the 10-inch.
Ugh, so cute.
So I wanted to just, you know, appeal to as many people as possible, of course, with the sizing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so fun.
So yeah.
Now,
you go.
I have to say before we dive into like how these blocks come together, or maybe I'll ask this later.
Do you have a pattern?
Yeah.
The show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a paper? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
should I show an hour later?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so the templates all come broken up like this. So this is the heart that Bethany showed, the log cabin. This is it finished.
Mm-hmm.
So they come broken up like this. and you just cut them out along the dotted line. And then you can see each one is lettered and numbered. So mm-hmm. like you said, it's a puzzle and it's so fun. So let's see, for these ones, like you would start D1 goes to D2 and then you do D3. So
just do it in the order.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it in the order. I have a YouTube channel that has lots of videos on tutorials and tips and how to do it. And I have free patterns that you can practice on. And So if you want to learn or try it out, give it a go first to see if it's right for you. I do have some things, but yeah, the templates are fun. Cause like you said, if you mess up on one, you could just quickly reprint and cut this little piece out, you know?
I've had to do that.
Okay.
Yes, because I feel like the tricky part is remembering you're putting, like, I kind of just stick with solids for the most part, so that if I accidentally put the wrong, not right sides together, and it really doesn't matter the solids. But with prints and stuff, you have to make sure it's like right sides together. You flip it over, you sew the seam, and then you have to make sure it's folding the right way and that the angle of the fold covers the whole section.
Right.
And angles will get you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've learned, like, the section that I need to cover may not be very big, but if it's on an angle fold, then I need a much bigger piece to make sure I'm covering that. So it's just fun to, like, learn and figure it out.
Yeah.
So there's been times where I'm like, well, that didn't work, and you just get the seam ripper out. Yeah. And sometimes you can seam rip it out and still use the same paper. Sometimes you may need to print it that piece again or whatever. Whenever we go to club and we sew these together, I usually have it printed out twice just in case I need to redo a section. But it's really, like, it's just fun. I think there's a satisfaction when you're done of, like, taking the paper off the back.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I can just sit there while watching a show and just pick the paper off the back. Cause I don't know what you recommend, Liza, but I lower my stitch length down to 1.5.
Yeah.
Some people do 2, but having a shorter stitch length helps perforate the paper more, so it's easier to tear it off. Mm-hmm. And then you just kind of, like, pick it out of all your little seams and everything and give it a nice press as you go. And you can press right with the paper.
Yeah.
I mean, press right on the paper.
Use your little Olizo.
I use my little mini Olizo. Jennifer, my sewing club, she made portable little ironing stations to put right next to where we're sewing at clubs. So they're just like TV trays.
Yeah.
And she had 2 in her attic that she was never going to use. So she's like, well, I might as well repurpose these. And she put, like, Insulbrite, which is the batting that has the foil. Mm-hmm. And then she did extra layers of batting and then covered it with fabric and stapled it to the bottom. And they just fold up and they, you know, really portable little ironing station.
Nice.
And that's genius. We've really gotten into it. If you can't tell, we're just a little obsessed, but, Ashley got me my...
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
That's one of my, like, biggest tips for FPP is to set yourself up for success with your space. Yeah. And the portable ironing station sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's, well, I have a mini ironing station that I made with, like, a rolling cart and the little ironing board from IKEA. And I just mounted it to the top. So it's like, I got all my supplies underneath and then it just wheels around my room and it's just perfect to sit up next to my sewing machine. So when I'm in my sewing room, that's what I use. But when I'm on the go, I love the little folding, it folds flat, you know, little TV tray, and it's the right height, you know, for when you're sitting. But Ashley, actually, I think it was for Christmas, you got me my first mini rotary cutter. Like, I never had a mini rotary cutter. I've always had just the big ones.
Yeah.
And now I'm obsessed with it, and it's perfect for foundation paper piecing.
Yeah.
To make sure you don't, like, cut too much off or anything.
How big is it? That sounds so cute.
It's like the little Fiskars, like the smaller one.
Yeah.
It's like little. I mean, it's got a normal size handle, but it's just a smaller, it's like the half size blade, right? Or something like that. Anyways, we can link it in the description of the podcast, but I really love that. And then I recently got an actual FPP ruler that has the little lip for the quarter inch. So I can just put that right up next to the paper when I fold it back and just, and it, I'm telling you, I'm in it. I'm indeed.
I got one of those quarter inch seam guides. I wonder if that's the same thing. It's like literally a piece of acrylic that's a quarter of an inch.
It's the rule. It's the whole ruler. It's like a normal ruler, but it's got the little lip that sticks out. So that is exactly a quarter of an inch. So you can just butt that up to the edge of the paper. But it's the whole ruler, so you can hold the whole thing. But
yeah, this is the whole ruler.
Okay.
It's this long, and it's literally a quarter of an inch. And that's it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
found at the thrift store.
Yeah.
Oh. They're called what?
They're called add a quarter, and you can even get add an eighth. They're really cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of tools that I don't think I'm even aware of when it comes to quilting.
Yeah.
So this was going to be my question to you. When I get done with one of these, and let's say I do want to quilt it and make it into a wall hanging, how do you quilt? Like, I don't want to sew over this. It's so pretty. And I'm just worried, like, do you just straight line quilt, or do you kind of play around with it, do different styles? Like, I think that's what's keeping me from turning these into something.
Yeah.
Is the thought of having to sew right through this.
Yeah. Let me get an example for you.
Okay.
I don't think it'll ruin it. I think you'll enhance it.
It probably will. But my quilting techniques kind of start and stop with straight lines. So
yes, I typically do straight lines just because my free motion needs some practice.
Yeah, that's a whole other skill that takes time to learn. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this is just straight lines.
So you really plan it out.
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
So I typically start with the center, just go straight down, and then do however far my foot has a little bar, a little guide.
Yeah. So now show them what this finished project is, because this is the other pattern that you gave us this month. It's the little irony mitt.
Yeah, double oven mitt.
A double oven mitt.
Cute, cute. Love it. Does it have that insole bright inside of it? Because I can hear the scrunchie.
Yes.
Yeah. That insole bright with the foil for the heat. But those are so cute because they can hang over your oven.
Yes. Yeah.
When I was looking at the patterns, I was like, okay, which one do I make again in the 7-inch? I think it's a 7 or 5-inch size for that little oven mitt. And I was like, yeah, I need to make the smaller ones.
Yes.
But I feel like the bigger ones, especially with the hummingbird, because that was a challenging first one, that I needed to do the bigger one to not get overwhelmed by the teeny tiny pieces. Because I couldn't imagine making that hummingbird a 5-inch.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I could now, but when I first started, the smaller, it can be more challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. And it definitely is, but it's, once you start doing it, it's like so much fun. Mm-hmm. You'll love it. I do have a video too on my YouTube for tips for tiny foundation paper piecing for the little 3-inch ones. You kind of just have to be more accurate with your, like, making sure you're on the line, stitching on the line, you know, back stitch and stuff. Cause some of the lines are so tiny, you only have a couple stitches. So, and then pressing them well, but it's fun. You could totally do it. Like you're
I'm
pro.
Sure I can. I just have to try, right? You got to start. I mean, I started with these, so we could totally do it. I'm curious though, like, now that you've got your club going up, and I know you just so you opened the club in January. So let's talk about that for anybody who's like, okay, I really do want to try this. This sounds like a great way to learn. You opened your club up in January. Once it had been open for a little bit, you did close it. So it's like a private group. And then you just reopened it at the beginning of April. And I know you've already closed it. It's only open for a little time to let some new members in that have heard about it. Do you know if you're going to be reopening it in the future? So our listeners can, once they follow you, can kind of keep an eye out for that if they're interested. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll open it again in July 1st. And I do have a wait list. So if you want to go to thepaperpiecers.com, you can join the wait list and you're the first to hear when it opens.
Oh, awesome.
But yeah, it's
And you
open.
Said July 1st?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
July 1st. Okay.
Yep.
Awesome.
Every few months.
And how much is it every month?
Yeah, so it's $10 a month, and you can cancel it whenever. And I have video tutorials walking you through the membership, how to navigate it, how to cancel it if you want, how to do foundation paper piecing. I've got lots of practice ones in there. So it's a cool space.
And like you said, you get the pattern of the month for the foundation paper piecing. You also throw in other patterns sometimes, like the apron and the oven mitt, to like be able to take your finished FPP and apply it to a project. I love that you help people see it like full circle. Mm-hmm. So you get so much, and then you get a group of people that are doing it along with you. And then if you finish it in the month that the pattern comes out, you just mark it complete in the app. And you pick a winner every month and do a little giveaway. So that's super awesome. It's a very engaging group.
Yes, I'm glad. Yes. Yes, that was my whole goal, was to keep it active and engaged. So
it really is. I mean, especially when the pattern first comes out, it's always fun to see who finishes it first.
Yeah.
And some of these people are like on it.
Yes.
They are on it. They are like, I hit print the moment that hits my inbox, and they're ready to go. I love it. It's hard for me to wait to sometimes to sew it up at my club. Sometimes I'll sew it before club, and then I'll sew it again at club. but these are super fun, and I'm so excited for you for this new venture. What made you decide to do something like a membership? This.
So I wanted to start my business. I started it in 2021 to be home with my babies more. And that's always been my drive behind it, is, help provide for my family, be home with my babies. And so I've done patterns along the way. I host a business retreat. What else do I do? I have a book coming out.
Oh my gosh.
It's coming out in September, and it's all foundation paper piecing. So,
That's amazing.
Yeah. I think if you like the hummingbird, you'll really like the book. So,
I do love the hummingbird. It's probably my favorite one so far. It's just so pretty. Now, I really do want to go make it again in like smaller sizes, because I feel like I need to put it on something that I can carry with me and show off to everybody when I'm out and about.
Yeah, like a little coin purse or something.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans for a flamingo blog, or is that like a thing?
That's her thing. That's her jam. Ashley's putting in requests.
I'll add it to my list. That's so cool.
Okay. I mean, no rush, but like June or July would be great.
Yeah.
Do you get requests? Like, I didn't even think about that. Like, do you get people to say, you should totally make something like this?
Yeah. Lots of people do request. And there were so many requests for the apron. And I was like, it was hard to keep it a secret, but I was like, it's already in the works. So that was cool that the people wanted it. But lots of good ones are coming in the book too that people request. It's about more continued on my flower patterns. I have lots of flower patterns in my shop. Mm-hmm. So there'll be lots more in the book, and lots of like little animals and stuff like that. So
fun. I mean, have you ever thought about like doing a retreat in person?
For FPP?
Yeah. Yes. Like a little weekend getaway and doing something like that for people to really dive in and get do something like that. Cause I think that would be, sign me up.
Yeah. Yes. I would absolutely love to do that, more so just like to have fun and socialize and meet people. Wouldn't that be so fun at like a beautiful location? Yes, I would love to.
Yeah. Last year, Ashley and I, we did a retreat with a few of our close friends, sewing friends, in the mountains. And we had all of our machines lined up on the porch looking out at the woods. And we're just sitting outside sewing. And it was just so nice.
That sounds lovely.
It was really fun. And there was fun until the sun went down and the mosquitoes came out and we had to move all the machines inside. Yes. But during the day, it was lovely.
It was. We were ironing outside. Like, it was just...
Oh my gosh.
It had a huge deck, so it was just like...
Huge covered porch.
Yeah. And then there was like deer at the, like, down And yeah. It's just like, wow. Like, this is
did
like,
you guys post about that? I feel like I saw.
Yeah, it was like a last year. I kind of like was like, we're doing a retreat. Like, I need to like. Well, that was the first time Ashley and I met in person, was at that retreat. And I got to meet all my other sewing friends, you know, in person. It was a small group. There's like six of us in a cabin together. So it was like a small group, and it was more of like a social and sewing.
Yeah.
So we had activities out every day. Like, we took a train ride through the mountains, and we, you know, went to an apple orchard and did taste, like, just different things every day just to get out. And then the rest of the time we were at the cabin, like hanging out, sewing, hot tubbing, whatever, you know, just having fun. And it was like, what, 4 or 5 days?
I think it was 5 nights.
Yeah, 4 or 5 nights. Yeah. So it was super fun. I really want to do it again, but on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
So.
But like more of an actual, like, people are coming and
to learn.
Yeah. Learning. That was more of a just social testing the waters, seeing if we like it. And
yeah,
I mean, it was good, but that's why me, Bethany, and Diana, we're going to go have a little girls trip. But this is like purely like friends just seeing each other.
Yeah, we're not even sewing.
No, yeah. We're not.
We're not even bringing sewing machines. We just want to hang out at the beach. We might crochet.
We'll go to the fabric store, like, for sure.
Oh, yeah. We'll still go fabric shopping and do all of that. But like, we're just going to have like a girls trip without sewing. Mm-hmm. I think it's good to take breaks, because Ashley and I, like, we, this is what we do. We eat, sleep, breathe, think 24/7 about sewing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like our world revolves around it. Right. So, it's like my full-time job. It's my hobby. It's my, our podcast. It's all these other things. And I had to tell you, when I was not joking when I say I took a deep dive into FPP.
Yeah. She went and bought all these things too.
I bought all the things, but I also, I'm one of those that gets really nerdy, and I love to like fully understand like the whole process. And that includes creating the patterns. So I recently purchased a license for the EQ8 software. Is that the software that you use?
So I did start on EQ8 because it's very user-friendly for FPP. Mm-hmm. They'll separate it for you. They'll number it. But now I do everything on Adobe Illustrator.
Illustrator, yeah. So Ashley and I learned Illustrator for our fashion, like, garment patterns that we make. But I was like, you know, I really want to dive into this side. And so I did get the EQ8. So I'm still going through, like you said, YouTube University to learn it from different people.
Yeah.
Because I want it, because Ashley asked me to make her a flamingo too.
Yes.
So good. We'll see who gets to do it first.
I'm just putting out all the feelers. Anybody. I don't care who it is. It just, please. I have a pattern. I have a pattern for a flamingo. And it's a whole quilt. I don't think it's not foundation paper piece.
Probably not.
I can't find it for the life of me. It has literally like flew away.
Was the one thing you were looking for in your big closet clean out recently, and you never found it. You went through that whole closet and never found that pattern. Like,
it must not be in this room. But yeah, I need more flamingos in my life. So it would be nice to have a 3-inch and a 5-inch and a 7-inch and a 10-inch. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Have them plastered everywhere.
Yeah.
Every pocket on every garment she makes and every bag she makes would have flamingos on it. What? I mean, you love what you love, Ashley. We're not judging.
Unapologetically, as they say.
Yeah, unapologetically obsessed. Oh my god.
Figure out EQ8, and if you have any questions, let me know. But it's so fun to make patterns and do what you want.
Yeah. I kind of want to make one that looks like my dog that's sitting over here who's passed out. Because I just feel like, well, both of my dogs, I need to have an FPP of both of them hanging on my wall, like a little portrait.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I grew up sewing, but I also went to my first major in college was fine art and painting. And so I really love painting, and I have portraits of my dogs. But I would love, to me, this is like painting with fabric.
Yeah.
That's what I think of when I think of FPP. It's There she is. She's sitting up. She heard me talk about her. You want to come say hi?
Yes, come say hi.
Say hi. Oh. She's our silent co-host. She's always sleeping right here next to me.
Judging.
And judging. She does have judgy eyes. Her name's Biscuit. But I do need to like make one of her and Gus to like have a fabric portrait in a sense.
Yeah.
I think that would be super cute. People love like the dog animals and stuff. So I don't know. That would be super cute. That's my goal to get to that point, but I have a lot of learning to do. But I really love diving into that stuff. It's a good change of pace. So
yeah. You'll love
it. For anyone else who wants to learn how to create patterns, you can use Adobe Illustrator or you can utilize a software called EQ8, which is what? Electric Quilt. Well, they have a lot of great tutorials, and it's not just for FPP. Like, it's quilting blocks, full quilts. You can design all sorts of things in there, but it's really tailored towards quilting and foundation paper piecing. And I think, do they even have applique?
Oh, yeah. They have applique, quilt blocks. Yeah. They have it all. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're really great.
That's a whole nother avenue that you can, rabbit hole, as I like to say, that you can go down. Join me. Oh my goodness. Well, this has been so fun chatting with you. I'm so glad that we got to have you on and I got to get to know you a little bit better outside of just the Paper Piecers Club. And I can't wait for you to reopen it. So be sure our listeners, if you're really interested in this membership, come join me. I'm going to be there with everybody else in that membership and we're going to keep learning and practicing our FPP. So when she reopens it in July, but go ahead and join her wait list so that you can be in the know first of when that reopens. And I'll probably share it on my Instagram too, because I have had so many people ask me like, I want to do these. And so, but if you're not up for a membership, she does have a website. You can go look at her patterns. She's got some tutorials over there on her YouTube. So be sure to check that out to see if this is a new technique that you want to learn. But it's super fun. So thank you so much for being here and joining us.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. This has been so lovely chatting with you.
It's been great. And I can't wait to learn all about your book coming out. Like that has me. I'm so proud of you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So are you guys ready for our sewing confession of the week? All right. Let's do this. Confession, man, I'm grown and I don't know what to do. I guess I gotta keep on two of my confession. Okay. This one's a little long, so just bear with me, but I'm going to read the whole thing. And for our listeners, if you don't know, we do a sewing confession every week. These are anonymous. If you would like to submit an anonymous sewing confession, just go over to thesocialhour.com and check it out over on our website. You can submit it. We never know who is saying these, but we do get a kick out of them. So let's dive into this week's. It starts out with, this one might scare Bethany. So that's what it says. She said, I just pulled out a sewing machine that had been sitting dormant for 10 years. And I didn't service it or deep clean it. I find that sometimes the techs are mean or intimidating, or I just don't want to pay or wait weeks or months to get it back. However, I did recently have a great experience at a shop further away, so maybe someday Bethany will convince me to service my sewing machines.
They're like dentists. They judge you, right? It's like, have you been brushing your teeth? Have you
been flossing?
Like, yes, exactly. I totally get it. And
I don't want Liza, you may not know this about me, but I have a pedestal that I will always stand on about how important it is to take care of your machine and clean your machine and change your needles and get them serviced regularly. And
I change my needles when they break.
And then we have people like Ashley who just infuriate me. I'm just kidding. But I really am passionate about making sure you take care of your investment so you can continue to enjoy your hobby. And the better shape your machine's in, the better your projects will turn out. The less issues you'll run across.
But how do you upgrade your machine if it keeps working forever?
You need backups. You don't just completely get rid of it. I mean,
well, okay.
I always have a backup. So when you do need to take one to get service, you're not completely without a machine for weeks or months, because I know it can take a while sometimes. But and I know sometimes they can be, you know, give these techs a break. They might be grumpy because they keep seeing machines in such disrepair because they're not being taken care of. I mean, I would be grumpy if I saw that every day. So I'm just saying. I love that they started out with this might scare Bethany, because it kind of does.
They know you so well.
Yeah, they do. They do. And it's fine. We laugh about it, though. But seriously, anytime I can bring up cleaning your machine. And if you need a tutorial on how to do that, go to my YouTube channel. I have very specific ways that you should be cleaning your machine. I actually sat down with the service techs that work on the Singer, Viking, and Pfaff machines at my office. And I was like, if you could tell users like the best ways to clean the machines, and I got the best tips from them, and that's what I'm sharing with everybody. So I'm not just like spitting out nonsense. It's literally coming from the techs that work for our organization that like repair all of our Singer, Viking, and Pfaff machines. So anyways, some of them have, they definitely had some good advice, and that's what I keep preaching. So I hope you guys encourage you. What now?
Sorry. Is it universal for any type of machine? Yeah. Those tips will.
Yeah, good. Honestly, and the listeners probably already know, I can't not say it, but, and Ashley already knows, but like the biggest mistake people make is using canned air on their sewing machines.
Mm. Can we talk about that?
No, we really should. Basically, yeah. It just blows it does blow some of it out, but there's a lot that actually gets pushed further back into your machine, will actually damage your motor, it'll clog your belts, and those are areas you can't clean on your own. So while it seems quick and easy, it's not the best solution. Also, that stuff's really bad for you to inhale. Canned air is not just canned air. So it's got other stuff in it. And so I would actually avoid purchasing that stuff at all and use a little mini vacuum, which I
wet enough
have
too,
sitting right here.
It's wet, so you're adding moisture to the inside of your
It's just not good.
Fiddles.
And so anytime I see someone like sharing their tips on how to clean their machine and they take that can of air, I'm just like, oh my gosh, please no. This is so bad. But you know, I'm just going to keep preaching it until everybody learns the proper way, because I just want them to take care of their machine. I just
when
want
I went
it
to
work.
Buy my baby lock, I asked if I could use it, and they said, yeah.
It's just one of the things where, one of those things where like we didn't know better, and so we did it, and we've all, I mean, like when I was growing up, like that's how we cleaned it out. Like that's how we cleaned the keyboard on our computer, and you know, those kind of things. Like it makes sense in theory, and you see the stuff flying out, but what you don't see is the stuff not flying out and getting further out of reach. And so now that we know more, and we also know how bad that stuff is to inhale, we actually are really trying to let people know, like, you really shouldn't be using that. That's why your machine doesn't come with a can of air to clean it. It comes with a brush. Okay? And that's what you're supposed to use. Ashley's laughing inside because she knows. Once I get on this pedestal, it's really hard for me to get off. Anyways, that's it for today. If you guys have a sewing confession you would like to submit, be sure to go over to our website. Liza, thank you again for joining us.
Yeah,
I am so glad that we got to chat today, and I am excited to see all of the new members in the paper piecers. That's going to be so much fun to have some new faces and new people excited to learn. So,
yes. Well, thank you again for having me and for sharing. So I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, guys, be sure you're signed up for our newsletter so you always know what's coming next, and we will see you next week on the podcast. Happy selling.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.